Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
James chapter 1, verse 22, King James Version says this, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The NIV reads it like this, "Do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves, do what it says." Somebody say, do what it says. This is the second installment to our series called Paparazzi, Living Out Your Faith in a World Where Everyone is Watching. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, it always feels like somebody's watching me. And tell them that's because they are. They're watching you. You may be seated. Two things that I just want to pull from last week is that in this statement, it angers people. It triggers people. And sometimes it excites people. Where you fall, whether it angers you, triggers you, excites you, tells us where your level of faith is, where your maturity level, and that is this statement, that your life is 100% your responsibility. I don't give other people that kind of hold in my life. Hate me or love me, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Agree with me or disagree with me, I'm going to do my best to become what God has called me to be. And so when I wake up, I can point the fingers as to why it happened or why it has not happened. But the sooner that I get the revelation and I digest, and sometimes you have to digest the word with tears. Doesn't mean that you have to agree with it. Come on, when you were growing up, you didn't have to like the broccoli, but you had to eat the broccoli. And so you might not like the digestion of it, but you understand that what I'm digesting and putting into myself is going to bring about the results in my life that I want. So when we digest and we understand the revelation that 100%, that our life is 100% our responsibility, it changes everything. When we name this series Paparazzi, we all have those images of some A-list star that can't hardly get out of their car, and when they do, it's not camera phones, but it's the old school, big, nice, expensive cameras with the flashes where it's almost 100% lit up because there's so many flashes going on. And they've got those cameras that can take 22 pictures in 1 second. And you've got hundreds of people with those cameras, and they're trying to catch a glimpse. And they're not only trying to catch a glimpse of the good, but they get paid more if they get a glimpse of the bad. Come on now. It's not enough just to show the highlights on the red carpet and to get them to look your way so that you can get the perfect picture, but they get paid more money when it's somebody who has tried to stay hidden or is trying to keep things hidden, that when you snap that picture, it is valuable. And so when we named this series Paparazzi, it was to get it in your mind that there's always somebody that is watching you. There's people that are watching you that are hoping that you succeed. I hope you have people in your life like that. I hope that you know who those people are. It is my pleasure to have a family that wants me to succeed. Of course, they don't want me. Mandy doesn't want me to fail. My kids don't want me to fail. They want to see me succeed. But I do also know that there are people that are watching me that hope that I fail, that hope that I don't do what God has called me to do, that hope that I don't get to the mountain that God has told me to possess. And I'm fine with either one of those sides. But at the end of the day, I have to realize whether they are good, whether they are bad, friend or foe, there is eyes that are watching me. And at the end of the day, I want to live a life that is holy and acceptable unto God, to where my wife calls me blessed and the enemies and haters get to sit at the table that God prepares in their presence to bless me and to favor me. But at the end of the day, all I care is what he says. But I've got to realize that as a believer, all eyes are on me. James 1, chapter 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." My brethren, count it all joy. You're going to have those bad days. Don't call them bad days. Call it, "I'm counting it all joy today." It's a count it all joy type day, meaning this, that things have not gone like I want them to go, but my faith will not let me stop here. If I have a bad Monday, there is a Tuesday. If I have a bad morning, then there is an afternoon. Come on now. If I had a bad 6 months in 2020, there is another 6 months. And if 2020 doesn't pan out, 2021's on its way. And so when you understand that, and you understand that there is going to be times where your faith is tempted, where your faith is tested, it gets you ready. Some new material, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Somebody say patience. This is what James said, knowing this. Knowing means I'm confident of the fact. I'm confident in the revelation. So when he says this, he is talking to people that should know better, that maybe don't know better. Can I tell you that confidence is an amazing thing? Confidence will do things that arrogance cannot. Arrogance says it's all about me and what I can do. Confidence says it's all about the God in me and everything that he can do. Arrogance says, look at me. Confidence says, look at God. And so this, knowing this, being confident of this fact, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Faith is a muscle, and unless it is tried, it will never grow. There has to be a lion and there has to be a bear before there is a Goliath. Some of us are wanting big things to happen, but we have not been ready. We are not ready to fight big giants. Some of us have looked at the things that are in front of us and said, God, I'm looking for big things. I want you to give me a big word. I want a big position. I want big responsibility. And God is saying, I will give you big responsibility when you are ready for big responsibility. I will give you big favor when you are ready for big favor. But some of us have not exercised that muscle of faith. And anytime our faith starts being tried, we sit down, we back up. I don't like this. It's making me uncomfortable. I told one of my good friends this past week, I said, man, what a year it has been so far. He said, man, who would have thought a year ago? I said, man, I would love to have the problems I had in July of 2019. Because compared to now, they weren't problems. Come on now. But 2009 got me ready for 2020. As bad as it is, I'm glad I'm ready. I'm glad that I was prepared. I'm glad that I used my faith in 2019 and began to train that muscle of faith so that I could flex that muscle of faith in 2020. If you haven't been training, you can't flex. You know the only people who flex are people that have been in the gym. That's why I don't flex. Because if I flex, you'd say, man, that's a nice elbow right there. That elbow is rock solid. You only flex when you know you put in the work. There's a lot of us that the world needs to see Jesus in us, but the only time we flex is when we're in the gym. This is not where you flex. Living Way might be a gym. Living Way might be where you come to get some in and to prepare yourself and to get stronger and to get more courageous. But listen, we don't need your flexing here. We need your flexing there. We don't need our worship as bad in here as we do out there in the firmament of his power. Can I tell you, as much as your faith does in here on a Wednesday night, just think of if you had the same kind of faith on a Thursday morning at your job, or a Friday afternoon at your school, or a Saturday afternoon at your family reunion. We love to flex here. You know why we love to flex here? Because everybody's in the same boat. We're all working together. We're all in this faith thing. We're all worshiping. We're all praising. We're all pressing in. But then when we automatically become the minority and we're no longer surrounded by faith out there, we forget the song that they just sang, that I'm surrounded by you. See, when we leave this building tonight, there's going to be eyes all around us. You might not even be able to see it, but they got the camera on your life taking a million pictures. But when you leave this place, come on, Living Way, we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready to flex faith out there and let them know there is a God that loves you. There is a God that will change you. There is a God that will heal you. There is a God that will put your marriage back together. We need people to flex faith there and not just here. Trying of your faith worketh patience. Trying, that definition there, trying means to test the quality of, the value of, the fitness of, the accuracy of. Let me ask you these questions rhetorically. What's the quality of your faith? What's the value of your faith? The fitness. How is your faith fit? Is your faith accurate? Here's another definition to put to a severe test of endurance, patience. I love the law definition of trying to examine and determine judiciously by evidence. There's an old saying, an old quote, and I love it. I remember hearing it growing up when I was a teenager. If you were arrested for being a Christian and a person of faith, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Oh, let me say it again. If you were arrested for being a Christian and a person of faith, would there be enough evidence to convict you of that, not crime, but of that thing? Listen, you can come into many people in this church's lives, and they're going to be able to show you, I faith this season. This thing in my life only showed up because I'm a person of faith. We've got the evidence, come on, that we walk with God, talk with God, live with God. It's not just a Sunday thing. Every day when all eyes are on us, we are faith people. Got a great email from one of the great men of this church that's saying, not 24 hours after last Wednesday night service, he said, somebody walked up to me and they said, hey, I need your input in my life. I need someone like you that's spirit-filled. He said, I didn't even know they knew that about me, but they knew it about him because he was flexing his faith muscle. Didn't know who was looking at him. People are looking. Didn't know who was watching, but people are watching. You know how I know that they're watching me? Because I watch people. I watch people. Come on. When you go to the airport, you go to the mall, people watching is one of the favorite things to do. Watching those people that never run, that are late for their flight. Woo, it's the best. Less is me, then it's not good. People watch us, but I know eyes are on me because I watch people. I watch people praise God for so long at Living Way, only to undo their praise with pity on Facebook that very night. And they're all about God here, and they're all about faith here, but their faith doesn't travel. Does your faith travel? Man, when the Spurs were good, it seems like eons ago now, we had what we called role players. Role players are usually only good when they play on their home court, in their home gym. But superstars are good wherever you put them. That's why Kevin Durant can roll up into Rucker Park in New York and he can drop 60 on a double rim. Why? Because KD is good wherever you put him. Can I encourage you? We don't need you to be fair weather faith. We don't need you to have home court faith. We need your faith to be able to travel to wherever you are. There is faith where you are. Wherever I am, there's peace. Wherever I show up, there's joy. Wherever I am, there is a transformation. Why? Because greater is he that is in me. I'm Holy Ghost filled. I'm Holy Ghost fed. I'm Holy Ghost led. My faith is not just on the platform. My faith is not just in the altar. My faith is not just on the campus. When you find me, you're going to find faith. Faith has nothing to do with my geographical location. Faith has everything to do with wherever you find me, you're going to find God. Trying of your faith worketh patience. Somebody say patience. Somebody say, I'm working on it, Pastor. I'm working on it, people. Pastor Manny, am I better? He said, yes, you didn't even have to think about that. We didn't even practice that too many times back in the office. Impatient person by nature, but I'm working on it. Because I know that the longer I have to endure patience, the more that faith is being built up in me. Patience has to do with time. Can I talk to somebody that had a New Year's resolution or a promise that God gave you back 6 months ago or perhaps back 6 years ago and you're wondering why it hasn't come to pass? And some of us have been throwing pity parties because it hasn't happened yet. Can I tell you that the trying of your patience works faith? Meaning this, the longer you have to wait, the bigger the move God is doing. The longer you have to wait, the stronger you are getting. Could it be that God, listen, we are measuring how God is doing it by how he did it last time. How he did it last time is not going to be how he does it this time. Why? Because there's bigger levels, there's bigger devils, and there's an anointing on you that God is trying to get you to your next, and he's not going to do your next the way he did your last. Patience has to become your friend. We don't avoid the time. We embrace it. Four months ago, Sister Gloria, I was so mad that we had to go to online service. And I was throwing myself a pity party for about 36 hours. until God says, so is this how you're going to be until this thing gets done with? Is this it? Because if this is how you're going to be, I need somebody else because I can't use you like this. He said, why don't you take this time and embrace the time and rather be at war with this? Why don't you embrace it and flow with it? Why? Because in the last 4 months, I've read more word in the last 4 months than I've read in the last 4 years. In the last 4 months, I've spent some more quiet time with Jesus than I've spent in the last 4 years. Doesn't mean I wasn't doing it. I've just embraced this time and said, Lord, if everything's slowing down, then I'm going to shut the door to my office. I'm going to spend some time with you. I'm going to worship. I'm going to connect. I'm going to strategize. So when the lockdown lifts, boom, I'm ready to go. I've embraced the time. Patience. Impatience will rob from you. Patience. His time, but let patience, this always just punches me in the face, but let patience have her perfect work. God says patience is a woman. Let her have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Confidence equals faith, equals patience, equals perfect. Say that again. Confidence leads to faith, leads to patience, leads to perfect. Some of us never get to perfect, entire, and wanting nothing because we can't get from faith through patience. Patience is your friend because patience is making your faith what it was not and the reason why you could not get or step into what God has called you to have. Can I tell you that patience could be keeping you out of the will of God, the hand of God, the favor of God, but when I've got faith, and I can say, God, if you said it, I believe that it's going to happen today. But if it doesn't happen till August, my faith is still secure. If you don't want to do it till 2021, my faith is still secure. If it don't happen for 10 years, God, my faith is secure. Why? Because my faith in the patient season is making me perfect. Woo! I know you get tired of hearing about my kids. I get tired of talking about them. I mean, they're just amazing. But it's always in my mind, in my face. Tyler been working out, and I haven't worked out with him. I'm letting him do his own thing. But it's amazing the changes that other people see that he doesn't see. Sister Tiffany and Brother Wes, hello, they're watching from Tucson today in Riken. I was talking to them yesterday, and they said, man, Tyler looks like a full-grown man. They saw him 3 months ago, but they haven't seen him every day. Tyler sees himself every day. So he sees the ounces that he lost marginally. He doesn't see the 25 pounds. He doesn't see the 15 pounds of muscle that he's put on. He doesn't see how cut and all the things that make his body look different. Why? Because he was looking at it every day. Some of you are not grateful for how far God has brought you from because you've been looking in the mirror every day. But can I tell you, as a pastor, you've grown. Can I tell you, as a friend, you've gotten stronger. You look like you've cut some debt. I thought there'd be better amen in right there. Can I tell you, you look stronger than you did this time last year. Can I tell you, you look healthier than you did when we were going into quarantine. You've been looking at yourself every day and you don't see it. But from somebody that doesn't see you every day, can I tell you, you look a whole heaven of a lot better than most people in your shoes. Because confidence, I know. Faith, I do. Patience, I wait. Confidence, I know. Faith, I do. Patience, I wait. I don't like waiting, y'all. I hate it. But waiting, it makes me a better person. It makes me appreciate. And let me tell you, God doesn't always make you wait. Sometimes he expedites those things. But the waiting makes me appreciate the expedition even more than I would. Because when God does a quick work, I'm thinking, God, you didn't, last time it took 3 months and you did this in 3 minutes. God said, this is not last time. I need you ready for the end of this day. I'm getting ready to do something. And so I need you to know. I need you to faith. I need you to patience so that I can have you perfect. for where I'm taking you and what I'm doing with you, where I'm what I want you to become. Does this help anybody tonight? Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, how many of you lack wisdom? Raise your hand. For those of you that don't have your hand up, you have a lying problem. Every one of us lacks wisdom. You know why? Because you can never get enough wisdom. Because there's things, this is going to free somebody. Ready for this phrase? It'll free you. I don't know. Woo! It's okay to say, I don't know, as long as it's followed up with, but I'll find out. See, some of us, we were too proud to raise our hand on a Wednesday night. We just family here, y'all. They can't even see you on the TV cameras at home. We're too proud to lift our hand and say, no, I got all the wisdom I need. No, you don't. Because you still got a mortgage to pay. You married? Then you definitely don't have enough wisdom. That's why when Solomon asked God for wisdom or for anything, he said, I need wisdom, God. Why you need wisdom? Because I got 1,000 wives and concubines. I need some wisdom. See, you can never get enough. He said, he that needs wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, which means there's no top, there's no container on what he will give you, and it shall, and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Just because you ask for wisdom, it's going to help, it's going to get you off the hook. Just because you ask for wisdom does not mean that you don't have any. It just means that I don't have enough. Or I am facing something that I do not know what to do. You must ask for wisdom. You ask for wisdom, but you ask from faith. Ask for wisdom, you ask from faith. Faith and wisdom go hand in hand. You can never have enough wisdom. Wisdom should be a part of your daily request from God in your personal prayer time. I hear a lot of guys preach, and they preach so great, so eloquently, such great things for a preacher to hear. But I'm thinking, man, how is the person that is fighting on Thursday or fighting for their family on Monday, how are they going to use that? Here's some practicality for those of you that are saying, Pastor, you're preaching, I'm not understanding everything you're saying. Here's something to take home. Every day in your prayer time, ask for wisdom. God, anoint me with wisdom. God, give me wisdom on how to handle my marriage. Give me wisdom on how to raise the 3 kids you've given me. Give me wisdom on how to handle my boss, how to handle my money, how to handle my ministry. Give me wisdom on what not to say today. Give me wisdom on what I do need to say. Give me wisdom on picking places I should go or picking places I should stay away from. God gives wisdom to all men liberally. Wisdom comes from 4 places. Number 1, God's written word. If you're wanting a spoken word from God, make sure that you are very, very accurate and knowledgeable about what he has written. Because there's no need for him to speak to you if you have not read the letters that he has written to you. And some of us are needing a word from God. And I guarantee you that 99% of us that need a word from God, he wrote that word 6,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 66 books, 6,000 promises, yes and amen. He literally tells you, I will bless you if you do this. There is an actual whole book about wisdom that I just read the entire thing in February, in March, on Proverbs. It's the wisest book from the wisest man. Go to Ecclesiastes, pick the brain of the wisest man. It's an amazing thing what is in God's written word. So wisdom comes from God's word. Wisdom comes from the spoken word of God. That's when we're praying and God begins to speak and God begins. And listen, sometimes that word is an audible word. That's happened to me once in my life. I heard an audible voice that I know was God. But most of the time, it's a quickening in your spirit. Number 3, God will give you wisdom through the Holy Spirit. Guides us into all truth. Guides, instructs, advises, counsel, and gives us power. I say this all the time because this is a Spirit-filled church and will always be a Spirit-filled church. We will speak in tongues for the rest of our days on this earth. We will always be a Spirit-filled church, but I can never get away from the fact that when you speak in tongues, that is the evidence, not the purpose. The purpose of the Spirit is to guide us into all truth. The purpose of the Spirit is, God, I don't know what to do, and He instructs us, counsels us, gives us direction. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. And fourth and finally, and I encourage you, this is the worst way to get wisdom, experience. You can get wisdom if you want to run the same race that your dad ran. Same race that Brother Mike runs, Sister Tammy runs, Brother Chris, Sister Heather. If you want to run that race, you can get experience. But why not just sit down with Sister Tammy? Why not catch Brother Mike in an aisle and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. Have you ever faced this before? That's where wisdom. I don't want to have to redo the good or the bad that someone else has done. I want to start where they leave off. God's written word, God's spoken word, the Holy Ghost, and your experience gives you wisdom. But let him ask in faith, verse 6, nothing wavering, but for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We talked about we ask for wisdom, we ask from faith. Why do we need wisdom before faith? It's important that you get these in order. Ask for wisdom before faith. When we ask for wisdom before faith, wisdom shows us what to ask for. What to ask for, when to ask for it. Some of us are praying the wrong prayers because we have no wisdom. And we pray for things that we have no business having in our lives right now. Remember, the good thing at the wrong time becomes the wrong thing. There are marriages that didn't work because of timing. There are jobs that didn't work. Promotions didn't work because you were promoted before your time. That's why patience, we embrace it, we don't fight it. Because patience is making me ready for what God is leading me into. Patience gets me through what God is leading me to. And so wisdom allows me to pray. Oh, I love this. Wisdom allows me to pray the will of God, not just from his written word, but what God has in front of me for the rest of 2020 and in front of you for 2021. So I'm no longer wasting my prayer time. Every word that is coming from me has come from the throne room of God, and now I'm asking for the right thing. I'm asking for them in the right time. Wisdom, faith without wisdom is a scary thing because you're just out there swinging that sword like Peter. We ask from faith. We need wisdom because it tells us what to ask for, when to ask for it. Wisdom plus faith equals no wavering. You show me a wavering Christian, I will show you a faithful Christian with no wisdom or a wise Christian with no faith. See, most new believers are crazy faith, right? They're jumping around, they're running, and then they're going out and they're smoking in their car on the way home. When I say smoking, I'm talking about not... You got it back there. Appreciate that. I'll be here all week. See, you got new believers that have a lot of faith, don't have wisdom. The problem is by the time the believer gets wisdom, they've grown to this educated place. And now their faith isn't like it used to be. The zeal is gone. The flame is burnt out. We're still talking about paparazzi, but remember, you got to get this right before you can get this right. You got to get this right before you can affect out there. You've got to get your spirit right. And so we've got wisdom. We've got wisdom and faith. Wisdom without faith, faith without wisdom equals a wavering Christian. So wisdom plus faith equals no wavering. Wisdom and faith are the two feet on which we stand. Wisdom and faith. We need a wise church. Talking to a friend of mine this week, we need a wise church. Did we legally have to shut down the church in March? No, we didn't. It was a wise decision. Why was it wise? Because I'm not going to pick a fight with our mayor and our governor. I'm not going to pick a fight with Judge Wolf. These are great men doing the best that they can. We made a wise decision, and we just started having church online. We just put up Facebook Live. And so we're going to operate with faith and wisdom. Some of you that are watching online tonight and you say, Pastor Brandon, I feel bad that I'm not back in church yet. Please don't feel bad. You move when God tells you to move. You operate in faith. You operate in wisdom. We'll operate in faith. We'll operate in wisdom. Just because it's good for me doesn't mean it's good for you. And we want you, we don't want anyone to feel pressured. We want you to operate in wisdom and in faith. Why? So you don't waver. Wavering people have one or the other or none. Verse 7, for let not that man, this is one of the strongest phrases in the New Testament. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. No faith and no wisdom leads to nothing. No faith, no wisdom leads to nothing. If you don't have a vision, you're going to reach that goal. If you don't have goals, you're going to hit that every time. Nothing is easy to hit. But when I've got faith, it gives me a vision. And then God gives me wisdom to carry out the vision and bring it to pass. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 22, verse 6. I'll give you a minute to get there. They'll put it on the screen. Actually, I'm sorry. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Is this all right tonight? Everybody good? I'm sorry, I made one more mistake. I read that wrong. Amos 7, verse 1. My bad, one more change. James chapter 1, verse 8. A double-minded man. See, y'all thought I was off my game. Y'all thought I had lost my place. Y'all thought it had froze on me, didn't you? A double-minded man or woman is unstable in all of their ways. See, some of you in the last minute, you thought, how embarrassing. He was doing so good. Some of you were annoyed. Man, what do we pay him to do? We pay him to read scriptures right. That's what we pay him to do. Some of you were thinking, man, I thought he'd be better prepared than that. He's got all week long to preach twice a week. What is he doing? That's all the thoughts that were, even if you say, I wasn't thinking that. Yeah, you were. Think, how embarrassing is that? So now we know how God feels when we get double-minded. Now we know that God says, you should be more prepared than that. Oh, come on now. That's good preaching. Now we know that God sometimes says, oh, man, you should know better. You've been walking with me for 10 years. You've been walking with me for 20 years. Why is it that you are so faith on Sunday and so world on Monday? Why is it that you are so all about Jesus on Wednesday night, but the first sign of bad weather, you get double-minded and you are tossed about by every wind and every wave of crazy doctrine, of godless doctrine, of world doctrine? Now you know how God feels when we bounce back and forth between the world and the Word. James 1:8, I'm going to break it down for you, a few more translations. A double-minded man, King James says, is unstable in all of his ways. The Message Bible says, don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way. You're adrift at sea, keeping all of your options open. The New American Bible says, since he is a man of two minds, he is unstable in all of his ways. The New Living Version says, the man who has two ways of thinking changes in everything he does. New Living Translation, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. And for those of you, I'm really trying to drive this point home. Santiago 1:8, el hombre de doble ánimo es inconstante en todos sus caminos. See, we just went bilingual, boom, right in the middle of a pandemic. Let me read it again. El hombre de doble ánimo es inconstante en todos sus caminos. You don't know how many times I practiced that in the office today. That's what I was doing today. When we are double-minded, it breeds instability everywhere. Everywhere. Our faith here is so important here. Building something, cultures being cultivated, atmospheres being cultivated. But I am here to tell you, this is the dressing room for there. The world needs your faith. The world needs your smile right now. I'm going out of my way to smile at people, even behind the mask, which is harder to do, opening doors for people. How you doing? God bless you. What I'm cultivating, I'm making sure that they know out there, not everybody's mad, sad, depressed. I'm inviting people to church online. Now it's easier than ever. They don't got to get their clothes on and get in their car and come to church. Just say, tune in, Facebook Live. They can roll over in their pajamas and they can get some Captain Crunch and they can watch us sing and preach. I mean, that's not great. It's a start. A double-minded man is unstable. It breeds instability in every area of our lives. Instability in one area spreads into every other area of our life. We can't, but before I say that, instability in one area spreads into other areas of your life. I've got a baby horse that has turned into a money pit. It's a very valuable horse because of its genetics, and I won't get into all that, but it's got two crystal blue eyes, and these crystal blue eyes have turned completely red. And the problem is in treating these eyes, when one eye gets better, the infection jumps to the other eye. And then by the time you get this eye getting better, it jumps back. So we've been dealing with this for almost 6 weeks, just jumping back and forth. This morning I laid my hands on that horse, and I'm believing there's a miracle happening. Because that's an investment for me. Remember, we don't do anything for funsies at the Fender House. If you don't make money, you got to find another address. But I just that preached to me today, and God was saying, what's going on in your life, Brandon, that jumps to the other area? That your instability, and right when you get this thing figured out and you're over here and you're double-minded, it jumps back, and every area of your life becomes unstable. We can't be faith people in the church and fear people in the world. We can't be worship people in the church and worry people in the world. We can't be praise people in the church and pity people in the world. Man, I've been on a crusade against pity.
Amen.
I don't want anybody to pity me. I want you to empower me. How do you empower me? Give me empathy. Sit down next to me. Put your arm around me. Send me a scripture. Lay your hands on me. Pray for me. But please don't pity me. Empower me. Don't praise in the church and pity in the world. We can't be dominion people in the church and doubting people in the world. We can't be prosperity people in the church and poverty people in the world. Our faith, it needs to be so much more out there than it is in here. There is no such thing, church, stand on your feet. There's no such thing as private faith. Check this out. There's an old country singer named Sammy Kershaw. Anybody even know who Sammy Kershaw is? All right. Yeehaw. Great. Start a Facebook group. Sammy Kershaw used to sing a song called Politics, Religion, and Her. Talking about, don't talk about those three things because you're going to start a fight or you're going to start crying. 50 years ago, no one talked about their politics. It was a taboo subject that was off limits. No one talked about it publicly. 50 years ago, everybody talked about their faith. Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, we wore it as a badge of honor. Fast forward, 2020. Nobody talks about faith. Everybody talks about politics. And it don't matter who you are, independent. Listen, Kanye's running, y'all. Kanye's running. What party is he belong to? The birthday party. I can't even write it this good, y'all. He said, because when he gets elected, it's everybody's birthday. I'm going to get back to my message in a minute, y'all. God, what this world needs right now is a debate between Joe Biden, Donald Trump, and Kanye. It's what this world needs right now. Better than Saturday Night Live, it's what we need to get our mind off of everything else. We used to talk about faith, and we ignored politics because we found out I don't want to injure this, talking about things that really don't matter for eternity. I'd rather talk faith. But somewhere along the line, we flip the script, and the only thing we want to talk about is the things that divide us, not the things that bring us together. Listen, if you're a Republican, this is your church. If you're a Democrat, this is your church. If you run or you're a part of the birthday party, this is your church. Listen, we are here for you. I don't want to talk about all of that. What I want to talk about is faith. We're bringing faith back to focus. I want you talking about faith. I want us living faith. I want us talking and being people of faith. Why? Because the paparazzi's watching. But before we can affect them, I got to affect me. You're in this place today, and listen, very simple altar response, altar call tonight for this response is this. If your faith needs building, if your faith is not what you had hoped it would be at this point in your life, I want you to leave your seat and I want you to join me right now. If you're in the patience season, if you're in the waiting season, I want you to leave your seat and I want you to join me right here in this altar.